When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to episode 86 of the Jaguar Report podcast. My name's Gus Logue, joined by my co-host, John Shipley. John, how's it going? Are you surviving the cold? I think today might be the coldest day we've had so far in this.
Oh, man, dude. It's terrible, man. I normally like really prefer the winter, too. You know, uh-huh. Built like a walrus, you know, in many ways. You know, we share some tendencies in day-to-day life, but Definitely not a fan of when I walk out of sweat. It stings, dude.
It hurts a little bit, doesn't it? It's too crisp.
Yeah, not a fan. But with the bitter cold comes the bitter off season. Okay, we're talking before the show, man. Just as somebody who has to like write daily about them, the off season sucks. It's trash.
Yeah.
I know. It's like when exciting stuff like signing, like new things are exciting. You know, change is exciting. New coaches, new rookies, new free agents. But that's like 5% of the offseason. And the other 95% we're kind of just here wasting away in the Florida cold.
Just hanging out. Yeah, Florida cold.
Just hanging out, buddy.
I feel like it would be like a 2-month stretch of just ugliness. And then hopefully the sun will come out to play a little bit more. But yeah, last week we went over some defensive coordinator candidates for the Jaguars, and since then the list has been kind of a little more finalized from reports of who's actually getting an interview with the team. So, John, where do you want to start with this?
Yeah, man, I figured probably we can touch base on two guys who – one guy who hasn't been connected to them at all, but it's still logical, you know, dots to connect, and then one guy who – it's been semi-connected to them, but I'm not sure how much he's going to factor into it. First one is Leslie Frazier. Like we both said that, you know, Frazier is probably near the top of the list of guys who we think would be good hires. He's a part of the Andy Reid, Sean McDermott, you know, tree, et cetera. He comes from basically the same circle of coaches as Doug Peterson. But, you know, he's been taking head coaching interviews. I think he's had two this cycle. I think one with the Raiders, one with the Chargers. I believe he said on like NFL Network or something a few weeks ago that like his goal is to get a head coaching job this year, but I'm not sure how likely that is. You know, the Chargers, it really seems like Harbaugh. You know, maybe not, because it really seemed like Harbaugh from Minnesota a few years ago, and that Harbaugh is a fickle one. You know, he's a
scrappy little guy. You brought him into the building. Maybe not. But yeah, I agree. I think Harbaugh for the Chargers as of now has a lot of smoke.
Yeah. If it's not Harbaugh, I really wouldn't know for the Chargers. Frazier is a guy who, like, he probably deserves, like, another shot at, like, a second gig as a head coach. But taking that year off, I do think kind of maybe screwed him, because there are just new faces every year, you know? Like, Mike McDonald is getting way more interest this year. Bobby Slowick. Nobody knew who the hell Bobby Slowick was 12 months ago, you know? Like, there's going to be new faces every single year. So, maybe, you know, I have no inclination of whether or not he will. Maybe Leslie Frazier meets with them after some head coaching roles are kind of decided. But, you know, it seems like almost half the NFL is semi-looking for a defensive coordinator right now, between defensive coordinator openings and head coach vacancies, guys who, in most cases, other than one that we'll talk about, will want their own defensive coordinator. It seems like probably be more prudent for the Jaguars to not wait around for Leslie Frazier, but that's where things, I think, kind of stand at the moment.
I mean, yeah, I think there will be a lot of kind of like – there's a lot of big fish in this cycle too, because you mentioned Harbaugh, but then there's also Belichick, Vrabel, and maybe Pete Carroll. It sounded at his press conference like he wanted to keep coaching, but I feel like odds are he'll probably just stay in Seattle for at least a year. But I mean, this is like the best coaching cycle ever, I feel like, at least that I can remember. So there's bound to be a couple really good candidates who kind of like slip through the cracks. So I mean, if the Jags want Leslie Frazier, then they might have to kind of like act up pretty quickly, because I'm sure if he doesn't get a coaching job, he'll be like one of the top candidates, and he'll certainly have his like wide range of options for jobs. But I mean, that said, there's just a lot of good candidates this year.
Yeah, and I'd imagine like he'd be a guy, like if he was your choice, then you wouldn't mind rating. He's just your choice, but they wouldn't have cast as wide of a net as they have. So another name, Ajay Evero with the Panthers defense coordinator. So the Panthers blocked his interview request with the Jaguars. He's still getting like a few head coaching interviews, but the Panthers aren't seemingly letting him do any deep like lateral move interviews, which is hilarious because they're letting offense coordinator Thomas Brown interview with the Chicago Bears. So they're cool with him doing it, you know, but
it, what does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. It really seems like Tepper's not gonna let this dude leave. He's gonna force him like the next head coach, like that this is your defensive coordinator. So I think he'd be one of the best candidates, and like it's a good thing the Jaguars like even reached out to him. Like him and Nielsen, I think, were the first two names that they were connected to since they were both blocked. But I mean, like those are two names like they should be looking at. So it was a good thing that they looked at him. It really feels like Carolina's not going to dare let that contract breach.
Yeah, and like it's definitely not a Jaguars thing. It's just a Panthers thing where they're not letting him talk to anyone. So yeah, I think that's one that you can kind of safely scratch off the list since obviously it was blocked. And unlike Nielsen, who was blocked and then like got an interview, I don't think like the block is going away anytime soon.
Why are the Falcons letting coaches interview now? what's going on at Home Depot?
After there's news that Harbaugh and Belichick were in the building. So I guess if we think Harbaugh is a Charger, that means Belichick is a Falcon.
That just feels weird, man. That just feels weird.
Especially after 28-3, too. Like, that's like a few more than a few years ago but at this point. So I feel like it's not that much of a sting anymore, but it's still interesting.
I didn't even consider that aspect of it. That's how Thomas Dimitroff becomes a general manager again. I think. Because Arthur Blank really has been like a quasi, like, I want to be a Patriot way guy, like his entire ownership. Dimitroff came from like the New England, you know, tree basically. So New England way. Give me your thoughts. A lot of people, I see the tweets. I choose not to engage, but I see the tweets. A lot of people were hoping maybe, you know, a Belichick Jacksonville conversation might ever happen. I don't think that would ever happen. At least not in this current reality. Would you want What would your thoughts be if Belichick, like, you know, wanted to coach the Jaguars? And again, this is just a hypothetical because there's no way that's going to happen. Doug Peterson is the head coach for 2024. Don't you dare anybody take this out of context. But just for a hypothetical, what would your reaction be?
If Belichick was the head coach over Doug Peterson, I mean, is he getting roster control too?
No. He's either getting roster control or he's working with the current general manager.
I don't even know which would be worse, like if they kept the current general manager or if they hired Belichick to like run everything, because he's a great defensive coordinator. Like in the reality that doesn't exist, where like he just wanted to sign up to be coordinate a defense for a year, and like he would be the number one candidate on my list. But like the head coach has been questionable, and then the like player management has really been questionable for a long time.
So the staff you would hire, dude.
I don't think it would necessarily be a positive for the franchise, but I would be here for it personally, just for the content and for the chaos. And like, I don't know, like, I think I'm in part of the crowd where like, I'm like, it's the best head coach in the sports history. Like it's kind of, I can't really say no to that.
So by that theory, would that be a solid hire, you think, for Atlanta? By that logic,
I think it would be a good hire for Atlanta. I don't think it would be like the best hire they could make, because I would just hire like Mike McDonald or Ben Johnson, or like even like Mike Vrabel would be a really good hire. I feel like Belichick is like not really close to the best head coach candidate, honestly. But like, I think it's like fine. I don't know.
You ready? I'm
sitting on the fence on this one. Yeah. Like I think like Belichick will like get his next team to like the playoffs, but he's not going to win a Super Bowl, and like he's just going to end up fizzling out and kind of retiring.
I'm with you. He's like definitely still a good head coach. It's just like you said, his roster management plus his staff hires. I just want to set out. I just quickly saw what that. This is the reality people are asking for. Bill Belichick, head coach. Bill O'Brien, offense coordinator for 2 years. Future Jaguars head coach Bill O'Brien for the next considerable years. No. Stick to the course, you know. Like no, I don't. I'm still torn on whether I think Atlanta is the, like, because I'm with you. He's the greatest coach of all time, but I'm happy I'm not covering a head coaching vacancy this go around, because I know the Belichick. Like, that'd probably be the number one guy fans would want, right? If the Jaguars had a head coaching vacancy, like in this cycle.
Sorry, you broke up. Can you repeat the question?
My bad. Wi-Fi. I was saying, like, if the Jaguars did have a head coaching vacancy this cycle, he'd probably be the guy most fans would want. It'd be like probably like them like devouring themselves over him and like Ben Johnson.
Totally. Yeah. Bill would definitely be like way up there in terms of like fan power and the next head coach. I mean, honestly, if I were Atlanta, I would just promote Nielsen to be the head coach, because I feel like he's like future head coach material, not just a good coordinator.
There you go.
Like, either you have in the building, or like just go get Ben Johnson or Mike McDonald or Mike Vrabel. Those would be my like top four candidates for Atlanta.
I hadn't even considered that. Yeah, it feels weird that we haven't seen Mike Vrabel have an interview set anywhere. You know, I feel like Seattle should hire him over Dan Quinn. Like the Keegan with Next Gen Stats tweeted out, like, the Cowboys and Dan Quinn like matched like dime to Green Bay's 12 personnel like every time, and they did it 65% of the time this season. I'm like, Dan Quinn, like, get serious, dude. No, I'm completely out on him after that game alone, dude.
Same. Yeah, there's like a certain like breed of coaches that are like really good in the regular season, but then like they get to the playoffs and like they're just doing the same thing they've done for 20 years, and that's like kind of like their thing. But you gotta be able to adapt. So that's why I feel like going after like a Ben Johnson or a Mike McDaniel, who is like, or not Mike McDonald from the Ravens, like. They are young, so like maybe they'll just stick to what they currently have and not really adapt out of that. But like, chances are they'll be better at adapting with like kind of the newer era of football. Did you see Ray Lewis on like the Peyton and Eli ESPN broadcasts? Mm-hmm. He was like, the Eagles were just like putting on a terrible display of tackling, pretty much, and he was like just whining about it the whole time. Or like, whining is a bad way to put it. He was like shouting and being visibly upset about it, and was like, just go back to old school football when the Eagles had the ball and they just kept throwing out of zero blitzes. So that was fun to see. So there's like, I feel like Dan Quinn is like one of the coaches that just kind of sticks to his guns no matter what, like you said. And so I'm with you. I'm not really interested in that.
100%. Now, as for coaches who might actually work for the Jaguars in 2024, aka not Bill Belichick. All right. So, take out Evero right now, Evero. Yeah. Take out Leslie Frazier until he ever actually has an interview. They leave six guys who have reported, you know, been set to have an interview, have interviewed, or basically six guys so far that have become like clear, like interview guys, targets. First one, most recent one, we'll start off with him. Bruce Feldman of The Athletic last night said that Falcons defense coordinator Ryan Nielsen is expected to speak with the Jaguars about their defense coordinator vacancy. That makes sense. The Falcons had blocked him a week ago. Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports said the Falcons have been blocking all of their assistants from lateral moves, but that as of like now, they've like lifted those restrictions, which, you know, again, what does Home Depot know? But nonetheless, it makes sense that, you know, the Jaguars, now that the Falcons coaches can interview elsewhere, can talk to Nielsen. I think, like to me, and I'll give you my list at the end of the game. Not the game. Jesus Christ. The podcast. It's a game to me. It's a game to me. I'll give you my list at the end of the podcast of how I would, like, yeah, get your Come on, Chuckles. Yeah, yeah. Of how I would rank them, but Nielsen's like obviously super high. I mean, so it comes from the like New Orleans, like Dennis Allen, like deep in the DNA, which is mostly like a four-man front. So a 4-3, if you had to label it 4-3 or 3-4 or whatever. But he runs some multiple fronts. I think the Falcons were 19th in blitzing under him. So they blitz some, but it's not like a heavy blitz team. But a ton of man coverage, a ton of single high safety, and not much zone coverage. But the Falcons defense, like, for like the last like 5 or 6 years has been miserable. They look good this year. he was probably the best defensive coordinator hire in this NFL's past coaching cycle, I'd say. Like Arthur Smith, like the decision to hire him was a home run after, you know, he had been one of the Saints' top guys for years. Like, you know, he's a defensive line based guy. I really think he's like a great candidate in the same way I think they deserve credit for reaching out to Vera. Like that's a smart move to make. I think this is that same ballpark.
Yeah, I think we both said last week that he's one of the candidates out there who's – or just one of the defensive coordinators from last season who definitely got more out of their defense than, like, the roster that was there – or the talent that was there on the roster. And so I'm interested in, like, whether all that one high that was in Atlanta last year was more of a Nielsen thing or more of a Jesse Bates thing who they got in free agency. Because in New Orleans, they run a lot of man coverage, but it's more so two-man – or cover two man with two safeties over the top instead of just one safety over the top. So I wonder if like Nielsen was like simply adapting to the talent on his roster, like when they brought Bates in, or if he like actually specifically wanted to go to a one high structure and that's why they brought in Bates. So like, I don't really know what was like the start of that. But I think he's, I would say he's probably the number one candidate that I would have on my list. Cause like Leslie, I think is probably the best like veteran guy that's available or that's been like linked to the Jags. But I almost think that he's similar to me and almost like Dan Quinn, where it's like they're like great at coaching their stuff and great coaches in general, but like they've kind of failed to adapt against like really high powered modern offenses in recent years. I think that was like he was like kind of departed from the Bills mostly like as a scapegoat because Sean McDermott was looking for ways to save his own skin, but also because like the Bills defense was one of those that was held up great against mediocre quarterbacks and poor quarterbacks. But then when it came time to face Patrick Mahomes, like they kind of got shredded. So I think like, and then with that said, like we talked about how the Jags are probably going to be looking for someone with coordinator experience after they just went through Caldwell, who was a first time play caller. So I think Nielsen is like a good mix of those where he's like a young guy who will be able to adapt his defense a little bit more better than like these veterans like Wink or Leslie. But he also has like actual experience calling a defense and coordinating his own defense and kind of like has that on his resume.
Yeah. And like, I think for any concerns about people have with the Jaguars have been built for 3-4, how would they transition to a 4-3? The Falcons are the same way. Like their personnel for years has been drafted and built for a 3-4 defense, and he came in there and was able like basically to retool it, you know, right away. I mean, so they've looked at a few different guys like in terms of specialties, like several defensive back guys, one linebackers coach, maybe and Shane Bowen, former linebacker himself, and then a defensive line guy Nielsen. You can see looking at the Falcons like numbers, you know, last year, just how, you know, he would probably like fix the Jaguars run issues and their front issues. Like they were number one in EPA per play against the run last year and one of the top teams in success rate against the run last year. Like they were, you remember the Jaguars game against them, dude. They were a tough front to run against. And I think a lot of that came from him because it had not been that way in years past. So I think a lot of the search comes down to what's Doug Peterson looking out of a new defense coordinator. The multiple defensive backs guys make sense to me because they had so many breakdowns in the secondary, despite having veteran guys and guys who have played together for 30 plus games. But they still have defensive front answers. I mean, questions that need to be answered. And I think Nielsen would go a long way toward answering those.
Yeah, I think I said last week that I would be really interested in seeing like who the defensive line coach was, and I wouldn't mind hiring a defensive coordinator that had a focus in D-line. But I think that was, I had some like recency bias just because Jacksonville's 2023 season on defense was kind of like ruined a little bit by their like lack of depth or quality play on the interior defensive line. But I, like now that I've had like a week to sit on it, I think that hiring a defensive coordinator with more of like secondary experience might actually be the move based on like the talent that Jacksonville does have on the roster already, namely in Tyson Campbell and Andre Sisco, because those were two guys that a lot of people in the building and outside the building for sure too were expecting to take like really big leaps and kind of help to elevate the defense. And they did do that for the first 4 to 6 weeks of the season. And so they both kind of succumbed to injuries. But I think those are two guys who have just like all the potential in the world. And so it'd be cool to get a coach who knows what he's talking about in terms of secondary to get in there and kind of help develop them more.
Yeah, no, 100%. That brings us to, you know, we're going to talk about these two as a pair, but one of our next two guys, you mentioned him, I think, last week, Chris Harris, the passing game coordinator, defensive backs coach with the Tennessee Titans, and Tennessee Titans defense coordinator Shane Bowen, who one of like the funniest things I keep writing throughout this coaching cycle, has been a defense coordinator for 3 years and a play caller on their defense for 4 years. He like went like a whole year where he was like calling, I think it was 2020, where like he was calling the plays as like the outside linebackers coach. Like, why not just like name him the coordinator? So coordinator in name for 3 years, play caller for 4 years. Chris Harris is obviously the defensive, you know, backs based one. He was a guy like when the Titans like hired him, that was seen as like around the league, like a really strong hire. Like people like see him as a future defense coordinator. I know, obviously, the standard Titans fan, Jaguars fan with a, you know, a player as their Avi who is, you know, 17 years old is probably saying, like, yes, Titans, like, let the Jaguars take him, etc. But he had a really strong coaching, you know, background. He's had some really good secondaries. I kind of lean toward the Titans' issues against the pass this year, just being, like, injuries, like, at the position and, you know, clearly not having the horses like to get it done.
Yeah, honestly, he's a former safety, and I think he did a good job coaching at the safety specifically because the Titans really, as you said, were hurt pretty bad by injuries, but especially at outside corner, and they didn't really have a lot of talent out there to begin with. And so I think like the Titans defense was like definitely liable against perimeter receivers this season, but at the same time, like they still finished as I think a mediocre defense statistically or efficiency wise. And I think a large part of that is that like the safeties, even after they traded Kevin Byard to the Eagles earlier in the season, were able to like kind of help be the glue of the safety. And so like, he's definitely a name that, not that I have any insider knowledge, but just from reading a bunch of like insider articles, basically seems like a really well-respected guy who, like you said, is expected to be a defensive coordinator sooner than later. And so I think he's like more of a hot candidate kind of than Shane Bowen, who's just been sitting around for a few years doing the same thing. Not that that's a bad thing. I mean, he's a defensive coordinator, but like it feels like his name isn't nearly as hot.
Are they the only team interviewing him for a defensive coordinator role right now? Have you seen him tied anywhere else?
No, honestly, I haven't seen a lot of like coordinator ties, only just like the head coaches and Jaguars.
Yeah.
But no, that said, no, I haven't.
Shane Bowen, like when I first saw that, it was like the old cartoons, they pour like the brown medicine, they just feed it to your spoon, like just take your medicine, you know, like just what a bleh, like an addition.
I think Nielsen is my top candidate and Bowen is my bottom candidate.
So why do you think that is? Like, my reasoning for it is that the Titans only once under him had even a semi-okay defense. I understand, you know, the injuries, talent issues, etc. But the proof's in the pudding sometimes, and the Titans had like double-digit 30, you know, point games scored against them in his tenure as defense coordinator. And also, kind of think maybe he's a Mike Vrabel merchant. He goes everywhere with Mike Vrabel. You know, that's my thing. Like, how do I know he's? If you want to say that he's good despite the results, that's one thing I'm already kind of raising an eyebrow at. And then how am I sure that if you think he's good, that you don't think he's good because of Mike Vrabel?
No, that's fair. I think he might be a little bit of a Vrabel version, because I feel like in Vrabel's whole tenure, and really in Bowen's whole tenure as defensive coordinator there too, like the Titans have been known as just a really tough and physical and gritty opponent. And it's like much more of that than like anything related to X's and O's or like how they're like doing something cool on the field coaching wise, other than like the motivation, I guess, which is definitely a big aspect. But I think that's like a big Mike Vrabel aspect, where like he's kind of the guy that like channels that grittiness and toughness for the whole Titans team, including the defense. So I think there's definitely like reason to be suspicious of like how much of the Titans defense is like Bowen really responsible for.
Yeah, no, 100%. And even if you want to say he's responsible for it, like how many aspects of that defense like are people really like seeking out, you know? Like it's not like a super innovative like defense or anything like that. Like they you know, multiple fronts, they go between 4-3 and 3-4. They blitz a bit, but nobody has ever pointed to the Titans as like, oh, this is one of the defensive schemes, you know, like to like look out for in the NFL. It was kind of a like shrug your shoulders, you know, kind of defense. And I wouldn't really see the vision or the direction. I guess like with these other guys, I can at least see like the division direction you're going. He would just feel like he'd feel like a coach that like Doug Marone would hire in 2019 or something. Like just like there's no point. You know, it's happening. There's no point. That'd be out of all these candidates that they hired him and had to get a grade, that'd probably be the closest one to like D minus, etc.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like there's a lot of B candidates and then like one or two A candidates and yeah, some stragglers.
I mean, you look at a few of the other coordinator searches, like the Giants defense coordinator search has been, you know, super odd. They've only, I think, looked at three guys since Wink left in an uproar. And none of them are, like, guys who really pop off. Like, maybe the biggest one is Miami's, like, linebackers coach. But it's not, like, a lot of, like, established names or whatever. I think when you look at, the six guys the Jaguars are slated to talk to slash the one guy they got blocked from, the Jaguars have done a pretty good job of, like, casting their like a wide net and looking at a wide variety and diverse like candidate pool, right? Like I'll give, you know, credit to them, you know, the organization in general for a search so far. I think other than the one kind of candidate we just talked about, I think it's a pretty strong one.
No, I agree. And like, I don't know. I think like there's two Titans, which is like more than any other team, right? The only team with two people who have interviewed with them. And so I think it's clear that there's like some kind of connection there. I'm pretty sure Peterson and Vrabel are pretty close. So maybe that's it. But yeah, I think like it's been like all the names that I'd want them to hire. I can't really think of a name like other than Vrabel and Belichick and like all the like really big fish. I can't really think of a name that's like out there that they haven't kind of circled or gone after.
Vrabel is how they'd get people back. That's how they'd get people to buy back in. Everybody that's upset right now, that's how they win them back. But I don't see Mike Vrabel being a defense coordinator again anytime soon.
I mean, if he doesn't get a head coaching job, like, what's he gonna do? You think he'd take a year off?
Probably come back next year.
Yeah, I could even see like him being a like assistant head coach or like senior defensive assistant for like the Patriots or like just like a random team and just take like a low key role for a year and then put his name back in the head coaching cycle. So yeah, so, I'm with you.
Remember their owner like saying like they had thought about trading him and decided not to, but at the same time, the Patriots have it written in the John Mayo's contract that he was always going to be the head coach after Belichick left. Who the hell were they talking about trading him to?
The Raiders.
Mike Vrabel, Raiders coach, would probably be pretty cool. But
I mean, Vrabel is like the – because like there's been a lot of talk about the Eagles and the Cowboys after they both lost in the wild card weekend about how like Sirianni and McCarthy like could be out the door as early as the end of this week, and then they bring in like a big fish like Belichick. But I don't see why they wouldn't just like try to upgrade their current guys with Vrabel, because I feel like Vrabel would be the number one candidate on my like overall list of head coach candidates.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that, honestly. Like, it's wild to me that he doesn't – like, there's still a lot of time to go, but I don't think I've seen him connected, like, to any interview or anything. Like, it's yeah. – it's wild how everybody wants to
– Maybe he's, like, holding firm on the fact that he wants roster control, and everyone is like, no, sure. We're not about to do that. So sure. Just speculating there.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Gus, we're going to cut for a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the other candidates. Gus, we're back. Three candidates down, three more to go. We'll start off with the one who I think I described earlier to somebody. I think hiring him would be like maybe the funniest hire, the most beautiful disaster, you know, potential hire. Wink Martindale. That I'd love to see it just because I think it'd be amazing, yeah. Like content, his personality right. Like alone, but just like his defense, basically, you know, mixed with who the Jaguars are, their DNA. I think it would just lead to potentially, you know, hilarious results. Seems like he's a guy who a lot of fans want, which I completely get. Like, he's one of the more respected coaches that they've like been connected to. Like, it wasn't long ago, like, even when him and Baltimore parted ways, that a bunch of people wanted Wink Martindale, like in like NFL people, you know, like it's a really respected scheme. He's a really respected coach. He's been a coordinator with three different teams now, Denver for a year, Baltimore for a couple of years, and New York. He's a guy who like he's had even head coach buzz, you know, before. So he'd be like a really respected hire. I just think, I don't know, just seeing his like, strict man-to-man, leave your guys on his own, blitz everybody else. I could just see it leading to the most disastrous results in Jacksonville. And I don't have any way to explain it other than it would just be very a Jaguars-like marriage, I think.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I feel like originally got let go by Baltimore 2 years ago because he was one of those guys that just wouldn't adapt. The Ravens actually had like, I feel like a top 10 defense for several years under him, but he just like one of those guys that does his thing and does it no matter what. And so it's again, one of those guys that can kind of like run into trouble once you get to the playoffs. And there's a lot of like more specific game plans and just a lot of like really good coordinators, like kind of like Jim Schwartz, coordinated the best defense in the league this year for Cleveland, but he does his own thing. And like Bobby Slowick for the Texans kind of diced him up. And so that would be like the biggest concern is that he does him, but he's pretty funny. And so it would be a lot of fun. And like, really like Jim Schwartz also like won a Super Bowl with Doug Peterson as his defensive coordinator with Philadelphia. And so like, it's not like if you hire one of those guys, like you can't win a Super Bowl because Doug literally did it already. But like, it would definitely be a reason for concern.
If they hired him, I would request that they do a entire video series, just him and Balky deep takes. Like I just want to see those two guys, you know, interact, but I'm with you. He does a lot of good. Sorry. Accidentally. Hit the pause. We're back now. I posted yesterday in a pros cons like about him, like him stating what his philosophy is, and he's like, great quarterbacks you want to force them to make quick decisions, not be able like to dice you up. Average quarterbacks, you want to throw different things at them, and I feel like that's something the Jaguars didn't do well against backup quarterbacks. You know, like this year especially, like they didn't make the pictures like murky for them. They kind of just stayed true to, you know, what they did. And
yeah,
I would also say, I think both you and I like said, like, especially after the Cleveland game, like zone blitzing was killing like their defense. You probably never see another zone blitz again with Wink, you know, it'd be like strict, like man blitzing, which I think would probably be better for their personnel.
Yeah. Like if anyone did watch the Eagles Bucks game on Monday night, like Todd Bowles was going cover zero, they felt like every other play and sending the house. And so like he is more of a zone blitz guy generally, but he was sending a lot of man blitzes too. And that's what it looks like, just like crowding the line of scrimmage, trying to get what, like, muddle up the offense's protection rules and just get one free rusher so that the quarterback is literally forced to throw in, like, as soon as he gets the ball. So I think there's, like, fair concern out there on the Twitter sphere about, like, with the style of defense that is brought in. Because, like, as you said earlier, like, 3-4 versus 4-3, like, I don't think that makes too much of a difference. But, like, there's definitely coordinators that are, like, more, like, way heavier in zone coverages and man coverages. And I think for, like, really the whole personnel in general, like, including linebackers and safety, but especially for Tyson Campbell and Darius Williams, they're both, like, better in zone coverage when they're, like, able to play off coverage and have eyes on the quarterback and be able to just, like, react quickly and break on the ball, as opposed to playing, like, trail man coverage and, like, staying on a guy's hip and, like, fighting through, like, contact on just, like, short 5-yard hitches pretty much. And so, like, I don't think, like, a Wink Martindale or Nielsen or, like, a kind of hire that brings in man heavy scheme is you're allowed to hire those guys. Like, Tyson and Darius can still play man coverage.
Yeah.
But I think, like, it is fair to say that they're better in zone.
So I think that's a, you know, good point to make. How much would you factor that in? Like, do you think you, like, say they hired a Wink or they hired a Nielsen, do you think that they have to throw resources at the cornerback position to kind of compensate for what the new scheme is? Because, you know, just playing on that island one-on-one is obviously different in pass coverage, but it's different in run support too. Like, Darius Williams, like, would basically have to live on an island as a run defender too. And yeah, outside of a few flashes here and there, he's never, like, been, like, that kind of tackler. Tyson Campbell could absolutely do it. Would it make you have to say you hire one of those guys? Do you have to throw a ton of resources at cornerback, including potentially the 17th overall pick?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you kind of put it well. I think you need, like, islands out there that can just hold up one-on-one, but then also still be able to kind of provide support in the run game. And right now, like, Darius is, I would probably say, like, a good run defender for his size.
Yeah.
But he's probably a net minus in general in run defense. And then, like, again, he's not really the kind of guy to just, like, he's a lot better when he's able to keep an eye on the quarterback and break off of that, as opposed to just, like, chatting with a guy and being on his hip. And so I think if you get, like, Leslie Frazier and run a bunch of zone, I think you could keep Darius and then, like, maybe even still draft a cornerback, because, like, I think Darius with his size and height combination could honestly, like, kind of fall off at any point. And, like, hopefully he won't, but you just have to kind of, like, be ready for that scenario rather than just going into next season with Monteric Brown as the next backup. But if it, like, especially if they get man defense, I think you got to consider, like, maybe letting go of Williams and getting some cap relief so that you can get a guy both in the draft, possibly at 17, and in free agency. Because, again, like, you really just have one island player in Tyson Campbell. And, like, even if you, like, sign L'Jarius Sneed in free agency, like, him and Tyson would be such a sick corner duo. But, like, with that style of defense, especially for Wink, where it's like the guys are on islands and they're not getting any help, like, that style of defense is, like, more about the, like, your weakest link than it is, like, your strongest chain. And so, like, you need three guys that can hold up, not, like, one guy who's elite at holding up and two guys who are okay. So I think, yeah, they should spend resources at corner regardless because of where Darius is out, but especially if it's a man defense. And especially if it's, like, a man blitz defense.
I just fixed the Jaguars. in my head, thanks to you bringing up Sneed. So, release Williams, Cam Robinson, Foley Podikasi, Rayshon Jenkins, and I think I'm missing an obvious one.
Brandon Sheriff.
Okay. Resign Ezra Cleveland to, you know, a fair deal. Obviously, I don't pay him a lot. Sign Robert Hunt, sign Christian Wilkins, and sign L'Jarius Sneed.
Holy cow!
Yeah,
that's a lot more names than I
you guys. I picked the Jaguars. They have enough cap space to do all that if they make those moves, as well as retain Josh Allen and Calvin Ridley.
I think what are positions that they absolutely have to target in free agency? Like, I think you either have to have either, like, Williams or a replacement for Williams. So like you need to have like a feeling good about your top two cornerbacks. And then you need to like sign Ezra, get another guard, and get at least one interior defensive tackle, I feel like. Because if you don't do all that stuff going into the draft, then you're just going to like pigeonhole yourself into like drafting for depth and for needs rather than just like positional value. Because like that's what the Jags did last year. Like instead of just like going out and signing like a good third tight end, like they forced a third tight end pick in the second round. And instead of like going out and signing like Zeke Elliott or like a decent veteran running back in free agency, like they just filled that hole way earlier than they should have in the draft. And so like I feel like corner and then interior alignment on both sides would be like the three positions that I feel like they like just have to address in free agency.
No, I'm with you. You have to sign at least one veteran lineman on each side of the ball, I think, in free agency. Like people will definitely be scared too on the defensive side because of their hit rate on, you know, paying those guys the last, you know, couple years or whatever. But even if it's like a rotational, like a top rotational type guy, like a guy who will like get like significant snaps, you have to bring somebody in that regard. And that's why the defensive coordinator hire is important too. You have to figure out which guys, you know, you want to bring in, because not everybody, you know, is going to fit every scheme. So I think that's a good call.
I would love like Hankins. Is it Rayshon Hankins? That doesn't sound right. Sheldon Rankins. Holy cow, my mind just got twisted all over the place. Sheldon Rankins with the Texans right now would just be like solid to good, like veteran defensive tackle signing rather than like a big splash like Wilkins from the Dolphins. Because as you said, like the really big money like defensive tackle extensions recently like haven't really paid off that much unless you're like Aaron Donald or Chris Jones.
And he's probably going to get like what, like 22, 23 million per year?
Yeah, like I'm out on Wilkins, especially after like
the Dolphins
are out. Like I feel like that's not really a great sign. I feel like they're like they've had like a pretty good front office or like just team building kind of in the past year or two. And so I generally think that they're probably a smart organization. And so the fact that they were like out on Wilkins, and then I feel like I haven't really heard his name much recently. I'm that's not the big fish I want. I want L'Jarius Sneed.
Can you count that as a hot take? I think it does. You just take without even knowing it. Yeah, you just take without even knowing it. Yeah, there you go.
I don't want Christian Wilkins.
I want you to do the first bulky ball 2024 and compare Tyler Lacy to Christian Wilkins. I want you to remember this and to do that, you know, moving forward. Would you rather have a fourth round pick or Christian Wilkins? You tell me, buddy. You tell me. All right.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good.
Yeah. Moving on. Next coach to talk about. One who I'm really interested by. I think he's the only one other than Harris who hasn't been a defensive coordinator is Baltimore Ravens passing game coordinator Chris Hewitt. I genuinely think like trying to get anybody from the Baltimore coaching tree is smart. Somebody smart mouthed me and be like, just saying they added Joe Colan from the Ravens coaching tree, which yeah, they did, but Jahad Ward and Damian Wilson and Miles Jack and Cam Von Chason all started for him. Like, I'm not going to hold that really against him. I still think Colin was probably the best coach on that 2021 staff. I think getting anybody from like he was like a Harbaugh like lifer. He's been with Baltimore since 2012. Harbaugh coached him as a special teams player when he was a special teams coordinator in college at Cincinnati. He's like as much of a Harbaugh guy as, you know, you're going to get really. So I get that with him, it's a little bit more hoping for potential, kind of like with Caldwell, because he just hasn't been like running the show on his own before. But he's somebody who I'm really, you know, impressed by everything I read about him, everything I've heard about him from, you know, people I've asked that in NFL, you know, circles, stuff like that. Nobody has anything but high praise for him. He was also probably the top candidate after Mike McDonald when the Ravens moved on from Wink Martindale. So The only reason he's not been a defense coordinator so far is because Harbaugh found the best, you know, coordinator in football. You know, like he's clearly a good coach, and to be there for that long, their secondary has been super well coached this year. Guys like Geno Stone, Brandon Stevens are you know, balling out, and he's had a ton of Pro Bowlers basically under his wing basically the entire time he's been there. I think he'd be a fantastic hire. I'm not as sure as what philosophies he'd bring to the table. I'd imagine it'd be like the Ravens, where it's like mostly a 3-4 front, but a lot of the disguises they do is with the back seven as opposed to the front seven, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think he'd be, especially if they want to fix the communication in the secondary, I think he'd make a ton of sense.
Yeah. One name you didn't like, you said Pro Bowlers. Like, he's also been coaching Kyle Hamilton and Marlon Humphrey, who are like elite coverage defenders over the middle of the field. And so I think he would be like, he's at like the top of the list for me in terms of inexperienced coordinators. Like, I feel like my big three right now are him as like the inexperienced guy, Leslie Frazier as the experienced guy, and then Nielsen is the guy who's like kind of in between, since he just has 1 year of experience and it looked pretty good. But I also like that he's kind of a Harbaugh merchant a lot more than Bowen being a Vrabel merchant, because like with Bowen and Vrabel, like I said, it's like kind of hard to separate the two of them. But like with Hewitt, he's been under at least three different defensive coordinators, because he was under McDonald this year and last, and then Wink Martindale the past several years before that. And then I think he was even with like one or two other defense coordinators before Wink. And so he's got a lot of different experience under different defensive coaches. It's not like he's just been under like Harbaugh and has only kind of like learned one system. And so that makes me like feel good about his chances as like whenever he does coordinate a defense and call plays for the first time. And yeah, I'm with you. We're like, again, not that I have inside sources, but the like inside articles that I've read have all been a lot of praise for Hewitt. So I think he's definitely probably the under the radar name to watch. Or at least under the radar compared to like names like Belichick or Vrabel.
Yeah, no, 100%. And like we both said, like, because he hasn't been a coordinator before, like, you don't see his name as much. And yeah, maybe a little bit of it is, you know, the fact that just he's from like the Baltimore tree and it's impressive. That's probably a little part of it. But I think he has an impressive resume. You're right. He was with a Dean Pease from 2012 through 2017, then Wink Martindale, and then Mike McDonald. So three very different schemes, coordinators. You know, it's had to
very good coordinators. Great, three great coaches.
Exactly. So, I he's somebody who, again, you know, when you're looking at the coaching tree they've looked at, I mean, like the coaching pool they've looked at, I think he's a strong addition to it, and you know, I tip my hat to them for that. The last one. Jets safety coach Marquand Manuel. He's the only one with ties to Doug Peterson. He was the Eagles defensive backs coach in 2020, Peterson's last year with the Eagles. Before that, he was the Falcons defensive coordinator for a couple years. He was in Seattle, I think, in like 2014, 2015. So he's basically with Dan Quinn for like 5 or 6 years, was with Doug Peterson for a year, and then since then has been Robert Saleh. He's been in the Seattle, like the Seahawks cover three, Lotto, Otto, Leo, Cadence system, you know, in every year but one of his NFL career, basically. It's like clear to me, like if they hired him, what kind of system they'd be going for. You know, it'd be like I'd say more Dan Quinn inspired than like Pete Carroll inspired, because it definitely seems like he's a Dan Quinn guy as opposed to like being a Carroll or a Gus Bradley guy, if that makes sense. Like, I'm pretty sure if Dan Quinn was hired and the Jags don't hire Manuel, that Manuel's probably his defensive coordinator or something. But my biggest thing is it's 2024. That defense has still not learned how to defend a crossing pattern. that's literally my biggest thing. Like, we're still seeing that coaching tree get lit up. You know, like in big games, like you said, well, they'll have good regular seasons. They'll have good defenses per se, but when you go against like the elite offensive coordinators, they just dice it up. And I'm not sure how much different, you know, different philosophies he would bring. But like I said, he's the only guy with Peterson ties. Maybe that gives him, you know, a little bit of an edge.
Yeah. We've talked about it before, though. Like, even, like, Doug Peterson has said himself, like, talking about Gus Bradley's scheme in Indianapolis, which is a big cover three scheme. Like, he's the one that, like, the quote comes from, where, like, they just do what they do, and, like, the structures are structure. And so, like, after he said, like that was, like, one of the – not that it was that bold, but it was one of the bolder things he said in a press conference, I feel like. And he doubled down on it, too. Like, I think he said it two different times. Just, like, that, like, very light smack talk about another coach or scheme. And so, like, after hearing him say that publicly two different times, I'd be pretty shocked if he went with a coach who's, A, never coordinated a defense, and, B, is coordinating that type of defense.
He's coordinated a defense.
Oh, yes. Which defense?
Atlanta. Under Dan Quinn. Yeah. Okay. Coordinated a defense. But I had several other people, like, say the same thing to me. Like, his run as a coordinator was very, you know, not noteworthy or newsworthy really at all. I don't think he's that inspiring of a candidate. Like, he makes sense. I figured he'd be a candidate, you know, because of the Peterson ties. Because he's another defensive backs guy. Like, he's a respected, like, defensive backs, like, mind and stuff. It's just, I'm not sure. Going back to that defense, man, those cars still run deep. It's funny. This is the second time he's been considered a Jags defensive coordinator candidate. He was a candidate in 2016 when they hired Todd Walsh, and Todd Walsh, who was then the defensive line coach, one of the best stories in Jags lore. Gus Bradley had Todd Walsh sit in on interviews with the other defensive coordinator candidates and ultimately hired Walsh over names like Manuel, Jim Schwartz, and Big Lou from Cincinnati. So,
oh, Big Lou.
Yeah, yeah. What a great coaching search. Man, Schwartz got hired a year later by Doug Peterson and won the Super Bowl. So, what are you going to do?
Big Lou should be a head coach, I feel like. I don't know. I feel like he probably hasn't been a head coach before.
Never so, maybe happen.
He would end up being in that category of guys who are better coordinators than head coaches. But, man, he's a good coordinator.
Yeah.
He's, like, in terms of, like, partly, like, getting more out of, like, your roster or whatever, but yeah, especially, like, game planning against, like, top quarterbacks, he's one of the best. So,
yeah,
he's one of the guys that, like, I feel like in a normal coaching cycle, we'd be hearing his name more. But there's just too many big fish.
Now, outside of Frazier, are there any coaches that they haven't been tied to who maybe you, like, raise an eyebrow at, or who you're, like, they should – be talking to this guy and they haven't, or have they basically covered their bases pretty well?
I think they've covered their bases pretty well because there's no, like, under the radar sleeper kind of guys that I've heard of that I'm like, oh, it would be cool if the Jaguars gave them a shot, because I feel like you kind of hit the mark on all those guys. If anything, I'd be like, oh, it would be interesting if they called Pete Carroll and was seeing what he was doing. But, like, I feel like that's just, like, almost a different level or a different conversation even.
That's fair. All right, Gus, it's time. Let's rank them. Everybody, that's a good ranking. All right, from who you think is best, who you think would be worst. I'll go ahead and go first. I'd go Nielsen, Hewitt, Martindale, Harris, Manuel, Bowman. That's my thumbs up or thumbs down. So if you don't want me to mildly criticize you on my podcast, that's who you're lying about.
I've got the same thing except flipping Wink and Harris. So from top to bottom, I'll go Nielsen from Atlanta, Hewitt from Baltimore, Harris from Tennessee, then Wink from New York, and then Manuel from the Jets. Then Bowen from the Titans.
Ooh, Harris over Wink. Give me that skinny. Why is that?
Just because, like, Harris hasn't done it before, and so, like, I feel like he's got, like, a little bit more potential. Because, like, Wink would be, like, I feel like probably coordinate a good defense, but I don't know if it would be a great defense. So I don't know. I think Harris, to put a cliche on it, is like a low floor, high ceiling option compared to Wink.
Knowing how much Jaguars fans hate seeing Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker drop off in the coverage, I'm now rooting for them to hire Wink so I can see Jaguars fans erupt over Trayvon covering like Tank Dell in the slot next year.
Yeah, that would not be great.
What do you mean? It'd be fantastic. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for different things than everybody else, it looks like.
So neither of us had Leslie Frazier on this list. Where would you slot him in?
I put him. Dang, man, that's tough. I'd probably put him ahead of Nielsen, but not by much.
Really?
Yeah, consistently has done it. I'd say Nielsen, obviously, he's a young guy. It's hard to ding him for inexperience, but I'd say he's had one great season as a coordinator compared to a guy who's had several, is what I'd say.
I think I would go Nielsen, then Hewitt, then Frazier as like my top three. But I think maybe I'm just getting like a little bit too excited about the young guns and like what they could be, rather than just appreciating what Leslie and Wink kind of already are, which is really good coaches. So I definitely wouldn't be upset by either of those veteran guys, even as much as scheme adjustment talk as I had on this pod.
You say a little bit of yourself on them?
What?
You say a little bit of yourself in them, the young guns? Is that it?
I guess, yeah. Yeah. Maybe two.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, now I go back to when I asked there's one name you haven't seen them connected to. I'll go ahead and throw a name in there. You mentioned it last week. Give Mike Zimmer an interview. Let's see. Let's see the Zim in Jacksonville.
I would be there for that. I feel like that would be even funnier than maybe not funnier. I feel like it would be as funny as Wink Martindale, or at least pretty close. But yeah, I feel like I haven't seen his name connected to like any teams, have you?
No. He's another guy who he was like, yeah, I want to be head coach again. And no. I'd be remiss if we didn't back to Wink Martindale. I should have added this when we were talking about him. I think any concerns like people have about him, like personality wise, like joining the staff, I think are overblown. Like I think Brian Daboll just seems incredibly hard to get along with. Like, come on, does anybody watch him like during the games? He throws tantrums, dude. Come on, he just seems like a very look at him. He's getting red. He's getting mad. Like he seems like a ridiculous person. I can understand Wink having issues there. People who think him and Baltimore had a messy divorce are just wrong. You know, and if you go back and you read some of the Baltimore beat writers from then, it was basically Wink wanting to leave because he didn't want to be on a one-year contract and Baltimore wasn't trying to extend him. Baltimore is ready for him to be the defensive coordinator. You know, it's not like Harbaugh told him to get the hell out of here and he left kicking and screaming. So I think those concerns are overblown.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I didn't realize that. I thought Baltimore's whole thing was like, you're a great coordinator, but don't adjust enough, and we need to bring in like someone a little bit more innovative. So they went to get this young gun from the college ranks in McDonald. But
I don't think it bothered Baltimore that he didn't want to return. I think it was mutual. I think it was mutual, but it wasn't like them throwing him out on his ass and being like, you're impossible to work with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That makes sense.
All right, Gus. You got anything else for us? Any hot takes to send us out of here? You already had one. You said Christian Wilkins is trash. So you had your one for.
Yeah. All right, here's one. Justin Fields. I keep saying he's going to lead a different playoff team or a different team to the playoffs next year. That's not going to be Chicago. And now I said the Falcons at first and then the Dolphins. Now I think he's going to be a Raider because apparently I forget like the GM that they have. It's like, I think Bailey something or Champ something. Champ Bailey. It's not Champ Bailey, but it's one of those names. And like, he's kind of like in the Antonio Pierce situation where like all the players want him and want to keep him around. And he was the interim. And so if he does stick around, he's got previous ties to Chicago where he was when the Bears drafted Justin Fields. So there's a little Fields to Vegas connection. But I'm still overall on the take that Fields is taking the team to the playoffs next year. Just remains to be seen which team it is.
Can I just say that Can I just say that I absolutely hate the Bears offense coordinator search?
You may.
It is.
I don't know. Greg Roman, know anything about it.
Shane Waldron. Clint Kubiak.
Okay.
Liam Cohen. And Greg Olson.
I mean, they better get Waldron. Waldron is solid.
Yeah, no, that like
what? How, that makes me so like unexcited about the first overall pick now.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
thanks, man.
Like, so protect Caleb Williams, dude.
Yeah, come on.
Caleb Williams and Greg Roman.
We gotta free Caleb Williams.
The funniest bit would be hiring Greg Roman and then having everybody think it's for Justin Fields since he's like the Justin Fields coordinator out of all coordinators, just for them to trade Justin Fields and put Caleb Williams in the Greg Roman offense.
That which doesn't make any sense because Williams is like super mobile, but like in the way that like Mahomes is mobile. Like he's like a good scrambler. Like he's not mobile in like the Justin Fields version where he's like actually like a really good rusher.
Greg Olson. What the hell? Is this 2014? Like, come on.
I thought Eberflus should have been kept around for at least one more year, but maybe not if those are his choices.
I was going to say, now that I'm seeing those choices and now that I'm seeing this like head coaching pool, they probably should have cut ties, I think. Like, this is a crazy list of head coaches. Like, I feel like you probably could have just upgraded like you're probably going to have to in a year. On that note, Gus, got anything else?
No.
All right. Yeah. R.I.P. Bozo to the Chicago Bears offensive coordinator search is our parting shot. Right. Thank you guys for joining us for the 86th episode of the Jaguar Report. Who could have thought we'd get here, Gus? We'll be back either this time next week or when there is any more concrete, significant news along the defense coordinator search. But until next time, John Shipley, my co-host Gus Logue, thank you guys for joining us.